no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Welcome to Side Stories, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here with the innocent Henry Zebrowski.
I'm innocent. You ain't gotta say it too much. From the look in your eyes, I could tell you wanna fuck.
Terrible.
Man, that old video, dude. I've been rewatching that from the stream from like 7 years ago.
Yeah, very long time ago.
I love that
faint
video.
Memory of it. And that reminded me of my favorite song that we played on the stream, which is I Screaming Inside My Head.
Oh, yeah.
I Screaming Inside My Head.
We got to put that back up. We got to find that.
Oh,
no. We got to isolate that.
Oh, boy.
I Screaming. So good. We got a bit of an update, side stories. Now, you weren't here when we were covering the long, sordid pathway of the Somerset Gimp.
No.
The Somerset Gimp was a man. You would wear a gimp outfit in the very nice, as we now know, the very nice, like, little humble villages in the UK, right?
Sure.
His cute little place looked like fucking Downton Abbey's, all the servants lived there.
Bucolic.
In a way. And then this guy, right? People got mad because this guy, which I understand why, is that he would come up to you. He wear a full gimp suit. Mm-hmm. You're not used to seeing it. It ain't San Francisco in Somerset, right? And they see him come up to you. The main issue was that he would rub himself aggressively, sexually. He'd moan a lot, and then he'd roll around on the ground and say, like, you know, but spank me, fuck me. I want to be fucked. I want to fuck my dad. I want to fuck me.
Spank me, fuck me. I want to be fucked.
Spank me, daddy. You know what I mean? And everyone got mad, right? It was bad. He was pressing it on people.
Very
but now, the Somerset Gimp was caught. And it was identified as Joshua Hunt, 32, looking like Prince Harry's stunt double.
Okay, now you're saying that they caught the Somerset Gimp. This man is denying that he is the Somerset Gimp.
Yes.
He is and you know what? I believe him.
It's interesting to go in that specific. So he has now been found guilty. So by the eyes of the wicked judges, he is the Somerset Gimp. But according to him, he is not the Somerset Gimp. He just happened to be in North Somerset. And he said, quote, "The outfit I wear is not anything to do with a gimp." It does, though. Joshua Hunt, a gardener, all right, because you could have dressed like a gardener and done it. He accepted, yes, he had previously made searches on his phone for stories about the Somerset Gimp.
About the Somerset Gimp.
He was just interested. He was doing work. He was prepping.
Perhaps he saw a peer, a colleague.
Maybe he, what do we do here a lot of times, right? I try not to pay attention to other podcasts. Mm-hmm. I don't want to step on. I don't want any of that shit to get in my head as I'm improvising. I don't want to deal with any of it. But
I've never listened to a true crime podcast in my entire life.
Well, I listen to the hardcore ones. I listen to serious true crime podcasts. I don't listen to funny ones because I don't want to hear what you joke about because, I don't want it to pop into my brain.
Of course.
And so maybe he's trying to find a way to avoid, like, that kind of parallel thinking. He doesn't want a Carlos Mencia himself in the version of copying the Somerset Gimp, right? Because he figured out, he's the master. What am I going to do? I'm going to get in the gimp game. I'm going to get in the roll around and touch myself game. When that guy's already the Hulk Hogan of the entire fucking scene. Right? I can't get up in there. Right? So maybe he thought I would do it. So what he did is that the way he separated himself from the Somerset Gimp is that he said he would don his quote unquote, he's calling it a black costume.
Mm-hmm.
But his thing was to go mudding.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is different because in America, mudding is a largely it is the pursuit of men that like to get drunk in the morning and drive their own pickup.
Yeah, mudding.
Yeah, so mudding is that you drive cars in the mud.
Yeah.
And some other guy with a cool ass fucking, like, either a pickup truck, something, right? He drags you out of the mud. It's fun. It's where 12-year-olds get to have a couple of natty lights.
Yeah.
Kick them back with their father. You know
what
I mean?
Doing donuts.
Yeah. It's a really fun time. It's your first time you get finger banged by your aunt. Right? It's awesome. Mudding is fun. But according to him, what they do in the UK, mudding, the go for him was to cover himself in shite because he had low self-esteem.
Now, this is why I believe this man completely. Because, again, through YouTube, through the stream, I became very familiar with the UK mudding scene.
And because the septic man.
Well, the septic man's American. The mudding scene is something different altogether.
We have actually more room. for bigger, larger, more cavernous, labyrinthian septic areas.
Yeah, the septic tank guy, I believe, is American. The man who, of course, dresses in the airtight rubber suit,
yes.
You know, and he breathes and breathes. He gets himself psyched up, and he goes down into the septic tank and comes back up again. He films the whole thing. It's very disturbing. Mudding in the UK, I've seen many, many videos of people who go to farms, and I have heard tell that they pay these farmers cash money to roll around in the shit, roll around in the shit. You know, get the cows out of here for 10 minutes. Let me roll around. I'll give you $20.
It ain't a crime.
It's not a crime at all.
It fills the farmer's afternoon, you know, because it didn't say, hey, maybe you could take care of some of that shit, put it over there. You know what I mean? He'd probably love it. Mm-hmm. You get some shoveling in, get some cardio in there, because I don't know how much the mudding, I guess the twisting and the rolling around can actually do a lot of core strength work for you.
There's a lot of twisting and rolling around.
But he says here is that he wore a black outfit, and he said, and the worst part was that it's because his self-esteem had gotten so low. And so what he was hoping was that he could roll so far into the street and that someone would run him over with his car. Right. And so, but he holds firm saying, I'm not a gimp. I don't own a gimp suit. I'm not in a gimp suit. I'm not dangerous. I'm a normal person. I've got a few problems. I need help.
He does.
Basically, you do. He just needs help, right? And he says that my mental health has deteriorated rapidly. You know, I'm in crisis. I was attempting to kill myself. I was not attempting to scare anybody. I'm crying out for help. And I'm like, help with my mental health. Right, and I understand he
is that how you hear British people?
But he said, so it's interesting because then the police, they clap back saying that number one, you looked up the terms and you were obviously very interested in the stories of the Somerset Gimp.
Sure.
And then he had written a journal detailing a story about a character called Jack who had bought a black rubber suit and made a mask out of tights with a face pointed on. He wrote that the face was like something out of a horror film. That would scare the life out of anyone.
Well,
so,
that does
yes.
I'm not sure if intent shows.
It does. It does. They did rule in the court of law that it did. But I think that, I think it does.
I mean, it's interesting what they charged him with, though. This is a very odd crime that I did not know was a crime in the UK.
How is this a crime?
It's certainly not a crime in the US.
No, it's just different. It's how they view consent laws out in public.
He was charged with frightening passing drivers.
Yeah, I think
that's the law, is that you can't frighten passing drivers.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know what they'd do with me, man. I got my Lambo crusher.
What the fuck is a Lambo crusher?
We have it's like our Toyota, like Highlander or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It's all fucked up, right? I fucked it up accidentally. And it's nice because what I like to do is I drive around. And if you drive and you see someone like in a Lambo, you can fucking go right at him.
Oh, Lamborghini.
That's my Lambo crusher.
Oh,
man.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah, dude. Fucking don't know what I'm not going to do. You know what I mean? But that's my American liberty.
Yeah, man. I could run a Lambo off the road with my Subaru.
Oh, yeah. And
the Outbacks are stronger than people think they are. That they're entry-level SUVs for people who aren't ready for SUVs yet. They say that, sure.
Who's not ready for an SUV? It's not a fucking Stallion.
But I'm low to the ground. That's the thing. I'm big. I'm low to the ground. I can fucking pop a Lambo off the road. I can pop a Porsche off the road. I think I could pop an SUV off the road because that fucker's going to be top heavy. He's going to go down. I can pop a fucking Land Rover.
Oh, I know you can. I think it would be interesting because you guys, I mean, you never see a Subaru go aggro unless it turns out it's some 7-year-old librarian with terminal cancer who's deciding to go Mad Max, which honestly, not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea.
You know, because again, get it out. Fucking put your chaos on others. But if we agree with the court of law, though, Marcus, we're going to have to wrap this up and say, yes, the Somerset Gimp has been caught. He has been punished.
I do not agree with you in that the court never said that he was the Somerset Gimp. The press said that he was the Somerset Gimp, and he said that he was not the Somerset Gimp. He was not charged with any of the Somerset Gimp's crimes.
Maybe this is like Batman. This is not a man. This is a symbol, right? This is an archetype to be filled, and that we'll see. Because maybe the Somerset Gimp is gone, but maybe he's not. Because maybe one night, the signal will show, and the hero will come. Not the hero that they want, but the hero that they deserve.
Agreed.
And I don't want them to be sexually menaced. I'm saying that on camera.
Yeah.
I don't want them to be sexually menaced, but, you know, maybe this time the Somerset Gimp can come back, help the kids.
Well,
If he saved, all he has to do, I bet you, if he could save one family out of a taxi that's about to sink into a river, right? If he could save one family like that, a lot of people wouldn't care if he writhed around as much.
As much.
He just needs to be more pro-social.
I think so, yeah. But perhaps this new type of GIMP might be a big inspiration. Maybe the GIMPs are evolving. Maybe the GIMPs are becoming something different than what we ever hoped they could be.
Honestly, but I do understand one of the big issues with being a GIMP is you have a hard time being a self-starter.
Yeah.
And you have a hard time really
driving
yourself.
Dependent on others, because that's the point of the GIMP.
That's the whole idea.
The whole idea of the GIMP is that you are subservient to another person. Yes.
So it is difficult. He needs a boss.
So if a GIMP is autonomous,
is it
truly a GIMP?
If you're a GIMP, right, you go be good now. You're going to be good now, doggy. All right? I'm going to give you the flock of your life, you little bitch. All right? So you get out there and you help a family. All right? Make your daddy hard. Make your daddy hard. Okay? Here we go. See?
Now they've got a full afternoon planned.
Go help a child, you fucking pig. But we'll see what happens. I've done all that I can do.
You really have. You really have. And I would also like our GIMPs to write in asidestorieslpotl@gmail.com if you believe that a GIMP can be autonomous, or if a GIMP is, by definition, must be connected to a master.
Well, how does it work when you sign one of those contracts? Because you know people do that where they'll have like, it is, and obviously it's a sexual game, but there is sometimes people do have contracts where you agree to be their slave for a certain period of time. Where you sign the thing where you go and you act like their dog and you do a thing. And I feel like partially the contracts are part of like the game of it, a little bit, making it really permanent. But I don't know if it holds up. I don't think it holds up
in a court of law.
I don't know. I don't know if there is spank court. Which would be incredible. BDSM court would both be extremely fascinating and also very boring.
Yes.
Because most BDSM people, as we know, they get it all out with the spanks. And the rest of the time, they're like, have you tried the new Quicken update? You check my profile on LinkedIn?
I don't know.
Shots fired.
Shots fired. Let's see the GIMP community fire back.
Whoa, actually, if you can. But also, don't hurt me. No, leave no marks. Speaking of taking a shot. Now, this is one of those stories that came in last minute that I was extremely excited about. It's in the UK, and I could see it. Have you seen this thing about the naked opera singer?
Have you seen this? No.
Have you seen this?
I have not.
Have you checked this out here yet? This is a wonderful story, and I feel it in my bones.
Wow.
That I'm going to be this guy, maybe, if everything can hold. I want Natalie. Natalie's going to obviously live past me.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully I don't get here, but we'll see. Now, this story is fantastic. Naked opera singer, armed with bow and arrow, goes on a rampage at a care home. Now, I love this because number one, his name is Mark Holland, and I think the rampage is real.
Yeah.
He did legitimately go on a rampage, which I appreciate.
Of course.
Because if you're going to do it, if they're going to label it a rampage, sometimes it's kind of like, it's like when guys come in and steal a bunch of Louis Vuitton bags where it's like, fuck it. All right. They're all insured. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
This is a rampage.
Yeah. This is incredible. I'm reading a little bit about this story. I mean, but a rampage, the weapon that he used is not a weapon that I would associate with a rampage.
Pre-assault, you will see. Pre his first wave. So there's a man by the name of Mark Holland, 63 years fun, which is kind of young to be in a care home, but apparently he was voluntarily at a care home. He went on a rampage when he was told he wasn't allowed to go shopping. So he was supposed to go shopping. If you guys don't know, I don't know if anybody had put somebody in a home with like my grandmother, my horrible grandmother, where we had to go. And she was kind of allowed out on leave every once in a while. So she'd go like ruin the days of everyone at the Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd take them out on chains. They'd come out and they'd do the long elephant walk, like out from the fucking the care home out to the Publix.
Yeah.
And they'd go to the quilt store or whatever.
Like,
you know?
A bunch of like when they take 4-year-olds out for walks in New York City.
And they were giving her a bunch of fake money, and then they pay with fake money. But then the care director has to come and pay with real money. Mm-hmm. And then my grandmother's being like, oh, these men in here trying to have sex with me. It's been like, I don't know, grandma. I don't know if the pussy be popping. We'll find out. Now, this guy who they label as, so Mark Holland, back to the story, who they label as a successful baritone.
Mm-hmm.
He has performed worldwide. So he lost his temper when he wasn't allowed out on his elephant walk. The police, quote unquote, laid siege to the Belmar Nursing Home in Lytham St. Anne, Lancashire, on October 2nd. They had to close the road.
because this guy, I mean, he was going nuts. All right. And then he didn't stop until he was struck three times with a taser. This motherfucker was on one.
You are skipping over why he was not allowed to go out into the world.
Oh, he was visibly intoxicated. Yeah, no, I was winning. He was very much visibly intoxicated. So he was normally allowed his freedom because he was voluntarily there. Mm-hmm. But then, a quote unquote, I guess they had fear. They asked him. They were like, "Now, yeah, all right. Yeah, normally we all love you around here. We love you, sing. We love you to dance. You love you. Love your presence, right? You seem to be getting a little tipsy there." And he was like, "Oh, I want you to succulent Chinese meat." Like, he immediately
exactly who that man is. Yes.
"I was promised a succulent Chinese meal. This man, he has touched my penis." One of my favorite videos of all time. So he flipped out. So, according to the prosecutor, he said, now a disgruntled Holland, this is according to the Independent, he suddenly broke out into song. Yes. Yeah, I mean, like, Camelot. Yeah, I mean, like.
Oh, he's a baritone, so it'd be like.
It's pretty incredible. And then he broke into song, and then went to his room. For me, it was probably big last one, being like, "Until I had coffee, yo." And then he popped out of his room. Naked.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Whoa, okay." He threatened staff. They call the police. And then he came out with his bow and arrow with metal tipped arrows. He said that he caused 2,800 pounds worth of damage to the home. He broke doors. He set up fire extinguishers, threw concrete blocks at a visitor's car.
Okay, this is a rampage.
He did as much as he could with as little arm strength as he had.
I don't know, man. A 62-year-old is still capable of doing a lot of damage.
Oh, believe me. Look at what we got in the White House. No. Hell yeah. Shots fired. Gotcha, Biden.
He hasn't been 62 since the 90s.
Wow. Unsettling.
Unsettling. No. Yeah. Oh, no. My father at 62. My God, he can do. My dad's older than 62.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he can do a lot of damage.
Yo, yeah. Oh, I bet your father could take over most of that town.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't put him past him. You give him a couple automatic guns and you give him some dynamite and stuff. Like, I really feel like he could do quite a bit.
I don't think he'd even need the guns. I think just by sheer power, force of personality, he could do it.
It's about what you hit.
Yeah.
He's got to go right to the water tower. That's the main key. That if you get at the water tower, you can really do a lot of vaguely controlled damage to a town.
I don't know. I know where the water tower is in Jayton, Texas. And I think if you took down that water tower, it might fall on the co-op.
Everybody's thirsty.
That is true. But most people actually don't drink the groundwater there because it's poison.
Great.
Yeah, my parents can't drink the groundwater at their own home because it's just salt poison.
We just have to figure out how he gets a hold of the mayor, but we're going to talk about that after the show.
I don't even know if he knows who the mayor is.
We'll have to find out. I'm going to look it up. So then he went crazy. So back to this man. He said that the incident, quote unquote, escalated quickly. They brought in a trained negotiator, thinking that he was going to take a hostage. And this is all because he couldn't go to the fucking... The Tesco?
Yeah, the Tesco. He just wanted to go to the store.
Right? He came out. So he's naked. He came out. This is the main issue, is that he used the bow and arrow on the police. Now, this is according to the police officer. "I had never faced this level of threat before. He was preparing to shoot an arrow and had taken direct aim at us." And she said at this point that she and her colleagues retaliated with tailors. And man, they just got him and they zapped him and they zapped him and they zapped him. Yeah. And he finally went down.
Yeah, but the arrow only fired a few feet because the bowstring broke.
He wasn't ready for battle. Because in his head, he's going, "Hold! Hold!" You know, like it's Braveheart. Yeah. He's got all Legolas is next to him. "As soon as this is over, my dear boy, we kiss."
He's been waiting for years. Like, as soon as I pop off, this bow and arrow is going to be my number one weapon.
There, that song is. And then all of a sudden, they tased the fucking shit out of him. And then they really just said straight, you know, his lawyer came out and said, "Hey," in his defense, "they always knew we had the bow and arrow." Which I love that was the first, be like, "Hey, now, hey,
They allowed him to have that set.
Yeah.
He was allowed to do this up to a certain point. You don't think this guy is not going to go on a rampage? No. Yeah, it's only a few feet. Wow. No. They got him 6 months in prison.
That's incredible. And he also had to pay $2,800 to the home, $250 compensation to the car owner.
That's actually not bad.
And $250 each in compensation to the staff involved in the evacuation of residents.
Honestly, that's like a nice tip.
Yeah.
I just go around and be like, hey, hey. Sorry about the rampage. You know what I mean? You put the money in somebody's hands. Be like, hey, just so you know, that rampage between you and me, it's over. I ain't doing it no more. Right? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Man, you can never get Queens out of your bones.
No, it's, dude. Hey, that's how my father did everything.
I know.
Everything was that he loved that. I did it once. It is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want to do, try to get your table faster at a restaurant.
Just a little bit of money.
And I just want to say thank you so much for what you, and you take it, you have the money in here and you give them their palms and stuff. Mm-hmm. Nothing, it doesn't do anything.
No, it doesn't.
But you gave that man $20. But it is nice to see.
Yeah. But unfortunately, I mean, this guy, the reason why he went on a rampage is because I think he was quite possibly, I think he was one of those guys that lived with his mother because he went into the home after his mother died. And he was quite depressed.
Yeah.
And things just went badly.
Yeah. He wasn't in a good spot. You know, you don't go on a nude rampage at your care home where you're far too young to be in.
Yeah.
You don't do that unless things are like not crushing it.
Bad.
Yeah. You're not there just because after you just did a tour on a cruise.
I think the only thing that is keeping me and you from going on rampage is responsibility.
I have a lot of work to do.
We have a lot of work to do.
No, and I don't, you know what it is true about that? I'm not ready. How do I put this? I'm not ready to feel that free.
Yeah.
That feeling.
That's very scary, that freedom.
The thing about Heath Ledger, you know what I mean? It's the same face as Heath Ledger when he's driving the cop car in Dark Knight and he's got that wind blowing through his hair and stuff. Like, I long for that.
Yeah, so do I.
You know, we'll get there, though.
Complete and total freedom from anything.
No, unhinged, untethered, unbothered in my lane.
Yeah,
in other people's lanes.
Watching the world burn.
Oh, yeah, but we'll get there.
Yeah, wanting to watch the world burn.
Fingers crossed for our 60s.
Fingers crossed.
We'll get there.
Live from your grave.
You know what I've learned from the news is that it is never too late to go absolutely fucking insane. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Heard about this?
This is a new Chad Daybell side story. This is something else.
No, I haven't.
That is being attached to the same church. It's in the articles that Joel sent us. This Doomsday family.
The one in Arizona.
Yes, this family, the Thibodeau family.
This is related to the Chad Daybell story?
It is coming out now that it seems like the family has been radicalized by the same set of, so we have it in our house right now. There's a book called Vision of God that is Natalie's obsessed with it, obviously, that talks about the origins and sort of like, it's a how-to starter book of how to do one of the break-off Mormon like franchise cults.
Sure.
You know, it's very interesting. And they all use this Chad Daybell model. It's talking about people who had near-death experiences that went up, saw something that they can't take back, and then came back and said, guys, I know I'm a dumpy piece of shit, 195 pounds, named Traflin. You know what I mean? My name is like Traflin Jones, and I'm the worst. I was just a dish salesman.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Even though we don't even have dishes, you know what I mean? That style. But I didn't know if you guys knew. I'm Jesus Christ. And everyone goes like, whoa, holy fucking shit. And he has a podcast. There's a bunch of this.
Can we move to the middle of nowhere cut ourselves off from society completely?
That's what this group did. So now we're knowing that a young man by the name of Blaise Thibodeau, who's 16 years old, he's gone missing. He was reported missing by his father, Ben.
16 years old.
Yes, he's 16 years old, and he was reported missing by his father, Ben Thibodeau. Now, it seems like Ben Thibodeau... What?
I'm sorry, it's just Ben Thibodeau is it's very funny.
Well, you know what it's about? Yeah, Ben Thibodeau just sounds like it's definitely Cajun. It's not more Cajun than I thought it would be.
Yeah, Ben Thibodeau.
Ben Thibodeau. Right, so they believe that his son, Blaise Thibodeau, has been taken by his wife, Spring Thibodeau. That have also, we are in cahoots with a man by the name of Brooke Hale.
Mm-hmm.
which is surprising a lot in Arizona, of men with normally ladies' names.
Yeah, Brooke. That's it. That is interesting.
Yeah, so Brooke Hale, who is Spring's brother, so his uncle, they have disappeared. They have gone to guess where from Arizona, straight to the heart of the Chad Daybell, Lori Vallow story, Idaho Falls. They're going to Idaho. They took out $50,000 of their personal money, and they have gone sight unseen because they believe, this is according to the father, Ben Thibodeau, who now... Like, you know, back in the day when everyone was saying, like, when the first victims of Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell were talking about how, like, they're saying they're Jesus Christ, I'm a zombie. You know, all of the police, like, laughed at him, saying, like, you're fucking crazy. Now we maybe, this might hold a little bit more weight after that because it's the same fucking crew. So according to Ben Thibodeau, they see him as a Davidic servant, quote unquote, chosen individual. This is Blaze Thibodeau, the youngest son. He plays a significant role in the Savior's return. They feel they needed to take him to an undisclosed location where he would receive his calling and understand his role in the second coming. I fear for his safety, especially if my son is contentious, rebellious, or belligerent, if he is, because then they might find out that the download from Jesus Christ ain't happening, and now we need to do our own download of shooting him in the back of the head, which is what happened to everybody else that crossed the paths of Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. No, I actually wonder if these guys... If it's just like, if it's the same crew pushing the same stuff, or if this is, again, another franchisee moment.
Well, what it sounds like is that these are just, these are more people that are offshoots of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yes.
Like, all these people are Mormon. They become fascinated with these second coming stories. They become fascinated with these doomsday
guys
narratives.
Coming back from especially near-death experiences where guys come back and say, I saw heaven and I saw hell. And I tell you, oh, what, if you had a coin, you'd choose heaven. And you're like, yeah, I choose heaven.
Yeah, of course.
I'm going to go fucking heaven, you fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, of course.
But yes, it is. He is. It's a slow ramp up.
But this is an interesting thing about I've never heard this facet of a doomsday cult before, because this kid, Blaze Thibodeau, they're not saying that he's the second coming of Jesus Christ.
No, he's the vessel.
I think they're saying that, like, he is a Davidic servant. Like, he's the one who will bring about the person who will be Jesus Christ, but he is not Jesus Christ himself.
Well, that's also how you, again, Somerset Gimp style, how you add to your own lore without stepping on the other lores.
Interesting.
All right, because again, this has to fit into the Jesus CU.
Yeah, of course it does. Yeah,
it has
JCU. Yeah.
It has to fit in. So you have to kind of figure out, where are we positioning? Obviously, if it's within the same teaching group of Chad Daybell, Lori Vallow, well, obviously Lori Vallow is Jesus Christ right now.
Right.
Unless Jesus Christ jumped out as soon as she got caught.
Maybe.
I don't know.
It could be. I have no idea what these people think. I think the connection between these people, I think it's just places where Mormons live. I think that's why they happen to be in the same areas. It's just these are concentrations of Mormons, as we know, like to congregate among their own.
I wonder
Idaho's
also,
a big Mormon state.
But why don't they just do meth? Most people that are this level.
To what?
But you know what I mean? Like, you know how we talk about how meth finds its ways into, like, suburban families because it injects a bunch of excitement and drama, and you get to meet a guy named Snake, and you get to go, like, do all these, like, fun things, and everybody's, like, worried about you, and so you get all the attention, and you become the new problematic person, even though you were, like, a kindergarten teacher, like, the day before, but now you're a full fucking meth head, and you're, like, stealing hubcaps and shit, and you're getting, like, a feed from it, kind of, in a way. It feels like they're doing it for the same reasons. Like, they started, so which I did not know, that the Latter-day Saints, they are taught straight up to have a preparedness for something like the end times, right? Basic supply of food and water and some money and savings. So, without going to extremes.
Basically a go-bag. Every Mormon's supposed to have a go-bag.
Yes. And now they're starting to slowly but surely, this ramped up in her mind. They started getting worse, spending more and more money on survival gear, guns, you know, very hack. At this point.
But this also makes sense when you look at the history of the Mormons, because in the early days of the Mormons, and they're all about early days, they're all about going back to their ancestors, except for, you know, the inconvenient truths about those ancestors. But remember, they used to be chased from place to place place, and they were a lot of times chased out overnight. Like, they would be invaded, they would be, you know, but chased out with pitchforks and torches, literally pitchforks and torches.
Oh, yeah. But according to Blaze's brother, this is like one of the breaks of, this is kind of what happened, is that they were running out of town. You know, I love my mom. She's the love of my life. And she comes in and she says, it's time to go and I'm not coming back. It's one of those experiences where part of you is like, I can't let you go. I have to go with you, even if it makes no logical sense, because that's the one you love. She's everything that I have. But deep down inside of me, I knew that this couldn't be. The world is going to keep spinning. I told her, I can't do it. I can't do it. So they have all these people. It's so, I also find it really interesting when these people all have extreme fringe beliefs,
yeah,
kind of out of nowhere, and the rest of the family saying no.
Yeah.
Everybody else is saying no, but then you still choose this dumpy fuck from Idaho. Like, you're going to believe this guy. Why do people do that?
It's like Q, man. It's the same shit. It's
at least Q is a mystery inside the computer. This is a doughy, khakied piece of shit you can see.
But it's the same exact thing where it's people's lives are extraordinarily boring. And in the past, before we were in, like, ever all pervasive when it comes to media, when it comes to entertainment, when it comes to, you know, narratives being pushed down our throat all the time.
Yes.
You know, people want to be a part of a story. Like, they don't, but most people don't want to, or I think a lot, some people don't want to accept that lives aren't narratives. Lives aren't stories. Lives sure. are weird and
they take,
dull.
They
sometimes.
Take jumps. They yeah. take jumps and you don't know. Because again,
but they want to create them. They want to insert themselves into a story to make their life seem far more important than, you know, than it may be.
I utterly agree. I also think that there is a patterns you could see with humankind.
Yeah.
But humans are extremely unpredictable.
Yes.
Like, once you get into the granular, yeah. it is very, very unpredictable, because they all talk about how, like, this kind of came out of nowhere. They all of a sudden, they were gone. The mom straight, this mom is saying, if we're going to see how things happen, I'm going to be gone for a few years.
Yeah.
And we're going to see if we're back together after that. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's strange. The uncle, he wrote a 2.5-page last will and testament letter to his kids before disappearing, withdrew $50,000. He divided his assets between his children. And he said, according to his last will and testament, if you're reading this right now, it means that I'm gone. I didn't know where I'm going. I was not told. You will not see me for some time. How long, I do not know, but I will see you again. Which sounds like a threat.
Yeah.
And I'm not going where you, if you're not telling me.
Yeah.
If you're not telling me where we're going, like, that's my main thing with the cult. At least with LRH, you know, God bless him. He kept it in one place.
No. You know? What are you talking about? The Sea Org? They were zipping and zapping all around the earth.
One boat. They're on that boat.
So you're in the same boat all the time.
You're just on that boat. You're not going anywhere. Yeah, sure. You know you're going towards land.
Eventually.
But really,
maybe
honestly,
not for a while, though.
No, you're on the boat.
Yeah.
But that's where you are. You're told that you're on the boat, and the boat is going to boat.
Yeah, boat's going to boat.
But hey, at least that's something.
Yeah.
At least I know I got LRH there. He's looking good.
You got corgis.
I love my corgis. I love being a 12-year-old messenger. You know what I mean? Like, that would be cool.
Yeah.
But this is, again, if they just show up and they just say, like, Ken, it's just some guy who looks like a Target manager. Who's telling you that you're going to join him in the ultimate fight against the devil?
And not only that, but these people, they went and they spent so much money on survival gear. They spent money on cold weather survival gear.
Oh, like, yeah. They went to Idaho.
Yeah, they went to Idaho. There's some speculation they may have crossed the border over into Canada. And that they
Does
may
Canada
be,
take them?
And they may be living in the Canadian wilderness.
I don't know if Canada takes them.
I mean, they're just American citizens.
I guess
Canada,
now.
I mean, you can just go over that. I mean, we've driven in and out of Canada plenty of times. And all they did was, oh, you're a comedian, eh?
No, and I don't want to, yes, I know, each time. Tell me a joke. Oh, you're some kind of UL, you look kind of stupid. So you must be one. And you're like, great.
You know, here in Canada, we have a long tradition of comedy. We're known as funny people,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, we know. And then we fucking take your best ones. We take your best ones and we bring them over here because ACTRA, which is their version of the union, does not pay well.
Yeah.
And it's just unfortunate.
Yeah. I guarantee you Kevin McDonald doesn't live in Toronto.
No, not anymore.
Or Toronto.
He might.
He might?
I don't know. He might not be a traitor to his people. But this story, we are going to, we'll follow this as it goes. It is wild, though, that it all goes back to the same fucking books.
Yeah.
Back to the same stuff.
It really is.
And it kind of almost feels, I was talking about this with Natalie. She showed me this, where it's like, it almost felt like now that Lori and Chad were sort of like, end of their news cycle because the Chad Daybell, I don't know when the Chad Daybell trial starts.
Yeah.
But now that Lori Vallow got found guilty and Chad Daybell will probably, the same thing will probably happen to him, I imagine. Maybe they're like, it's our shot.
Yeah, now yeah. we can be the top Mormons.
But the problem is that Lori Vallow fucking was like kind of hot for Idaho, right? She looked good.
Yeah.
She looked like she might be Lady Christ. And then Chad Daybell looked just enough like Winnie the Pooh for people to, I guess, have some form of, I don't know what the feeling is. You like Winnie the Pooh. You're looking at him. You kind of connect the two. Right?
Yeah. Lori Daybell, severe. Severe looking person.
She got crazier. She went. She was tight. She was an Idaho 11
yeah.
for a long time, right? She looked good. And then she got more severe because then she was like putting berry juice on her fucking lips and shit in prison.
Yeah, that's going to be, yeah, that's going to be a problem for the old skin.
Yeah, people got, you know, what are you going to do? That's what you got in jail. You can get, I think you can get some makeup, but not like Avon. I don't know what's good.
I've been planning on foraging lately.
What do you mean?
Foraging for food.
Why?
Because I was watching that, there was that one girl in the new season of British Bake Off. She's been foraging a lot.
That's sad.
It's what she likes to do. It's her thing, is that she forages.
What do you mean, steal?
No, you go out into the woods and you find ingredients to cook with that are grown naturally. Like, yeah, you go out and you find some nettle.
This is the desert. No. We're in the desert. There's nothing here.
I can drive an hour and go to the mountains. I can find things before. I can berries.
Yeah, pine cones.
I'm sure there would be some nettles.
I don't
some
know if
grass.
I don't know if you're going to find enough berries to sustain you in Carolina.
No, you know, you go and you get the berries, you forage, and then you bring them back home and you use them as ingredients in food that you cook. Foraging.
It's at the store. You go get those berries right at the store, and then so many more berries.
No,
fresher berries.
I mean, I'm not going to do berries because berries are very, you know, you can easily end up
then
with.
Then what is he going to do? He just said berries were the first thing he was going to do.
Oh, no, I said nettles as well.
What does nettles do?
They look scrumptious.
I know you can make a tea, but I think it's the.
You can eat them. You can put them into bread. She put them into her bread for bread week.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. What do nettles taste like? How was it? This is a good season.
Yeah, it's all right. I like it. Yeah, there are some people saying that it's boring, and
Yeah, that's the point. That's the fucking point.
You know what? You know what I'll say, though? It's too bawdy. They're going a little blue this season,
they
and I don't
like
it.
They're laughing a lot more at bottoms and saying balls, and they're doing it more.
Balls and nuts and all that.
Their fun.
You know what? But I watched the Great British Bake Off because I want something that's wholesome and fun, and I don't want to think about men's testicles.
I don't know, but then the other versions
of it. I already have a hard enough time watching that old woman put food in her mouth.
I'll fuck Prue. I will have sex with Prue.
It's not as bad as Mary Berry. Watching her eat.
Scrubby. No, we've done Mary Berry mouth many times.
Prue's mouth is starting to get a little. It's starting to get the same area.
I say let them have their fun. It's better like this. They got to get it out because if not, again, how many more gimps do we need? That's where they get it out. According to Nettles, it says they taste like a mix between spinach and cucumber. I guess that's fine.
That sounds incredible. I love spinach. I love cucumber.
I just don't even know if we have nettles.
I don't know if we do. I don't think you can find them occurring naturally.
I think you'll have to go to fucking Whole Foods and get your and forage your way through the Amazon store.
I bet I'll find something to eat out there in that forest.
You will. But you know who didn't? This guy.
Live from your grave.
This is a good fucking story because this is one of my true, this is a nightmare. Have you seen this about this guy? You seen this?
You know about this? You seen this?
All right. This was a guy, missing Nebraska man.
Oh, this one.
This is fucked.
This is my worst fucking nightmare.
Oh, yeah. Missing Nebraska man heard screaming for help weeks before body found in chimney.
Oh.
29-year-old Zachariah Andrews. Now, no one did anything.
No, they did. They tried. They didn't try hard enough, but they did do something.
There is a difference. All right, let me get to the details. So he was found last week, more than a month after. Okay, this is the thing. Mysterious screams for help were heard inside of a Norfolk area apartment building. He was positively identified. And he was discovered by a maintenance worker on October 19th. I'm sorry to you, maintenance worker. That shouldn't be what you have to deal with.
Yeah.
But, okay. He was last seen alive on September 15th. He wasn't reported missing until October 3rd. So they actually were looking for, the reason why they went looking for him is because they were issued a warrant for his arrest on several counts of violating a protection order after he allegedly made several unwanted attempts to reach an unnamed woman.
Yes.
It's not good.
Also right? had a long and strange, bizarre criminal history. In 2018, he had charges for allegedly attempting to entice a 12-year-old girl who was trying to sell a swimsuit on Facebook.
I don't even know what that attempting to entice means. I don't know what it means. I don't know if it's just like caramel. I don't know. And then he was charged with resisting arrest for kicking police officers when they tried to detain him for allegedly assaulting another man. But again, he's still a man.
He is still a man. He is still a man.
So here's the thing. So the day after Andrews was last seen, Norfolk police received a call from a resident inside an apartment building who claimed they heard mysterious screams. The resident reported that he heard a man yelling for help and that it appeared to be coming from the first floor. And by the time the police arrived, according to them, screams stopped.
Problem solved.
It's one of those things. If it's different, if it's a I get it. Ignore it.
Yeah. But when it's help!
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 Help! I'm in the chimney. Help! Yes. There are a series of allegations about me pending. Okay? They are pending. If you could please help. You
know, innocent until proven guilty. I am an American. Help!
Help! And so the guy was like, house settling. Doors really get drafty this time of year.
Yeah.
They believe Andrew's death was accidental. They're still investigating. And he was inside of the fucking chimney. And
from what I remember, I seem to remember looking up chimney deaths a long time ago, because every once in a while you get a guy in a Santa suit. You know, they'd say it's an urban legend, but it happens.
We've seen it happen. Yeah.
And you also see, you know, burglars getting stuck in chimneys and so on and so forth.
They discover what appear to be human shoes dangling from the shaft.
Oh. I don't know.
How'd we get in the chimney?
Oh, my God.
What was he doing in the chimney?
He was trying to burgle.
Yeah.
It seems like an attempted burgle. That went terribly wrong. But it
didn't go well.
Usually what happens is they suffocate. They don't starve to death. It's just the angle that their body usually gets stuck in.
Their arm gets like stuck underneath where their lungs are and then they can't breathe. And it might have been more like a hip, hip.
Yeah, probably could have been a hip,
hip,
hip, hip. Like, well, it might be coming from the next apartment building.
I just don't want to die like this.
I don't think you can.
I don't want to die like this.
I don't see a scenario in which you die like this.
Man, Natalie made fun of me because we're going on a little vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like this thing it looked cool. It was like an ATV, like driving experience.
Oh, I've gone on those before in Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're awesome.
It wants us to go over this like super, like with Mexico's longest, like, bridge that's not solid.
Not solid?
You know what I mean? It's like a draw, whatever it's called. It's like
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom rope bridge.
It's a carpet. That she wants. I was just like, no, we're all gonna die.
No.
We're all gonna die doing this. I don't wanna die by an accident. It's the number one way that men die from 35 to 50.
Is accident?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awful.
And suicide. Isn't that horrible? But it's just like, yeah, man. That's hard. I don't want to die like that.
No, I don't want to die like that either. Yeah. I don't know. I got to think about bridges, though.
What?
I hate bridges.
Yeah, they freak me out. Yeah, sure.
But footbridges, though, I'm fine with that.
Why?
I don't know. There's something because that's the thing about a footbridge is that I can hold on to it. And I know that there's nobody that's going to try to run me off of the bridge.
But I'm on a car on this bridge.
Yeah, but then I'm also worried that I'm going to crash into other people on the bridge.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
She's so confident.
Yeah.
Natalie's just so confident and she loves danger.
Yeah.
And I really don't.
I love danger as well. But that's the good thing is that we both married people that don't love danger. So it keeps us alive. Mm. So that way we can have our love of danger tempered.
Because Carolina and I are shockingly similar.
Yes, you're
isn't that great?
Incredibly similar.
It's like two of them.
It took me years to figure it out. And when I did, it was a moment.
You ever
look
across? You're deep in the in flagrante. And you just see my face going,
Marcus, what do you want to do this week? What's the episode you want to do this week, Marcus?
Shockingly similar. So shockingly
similar.
But
not in body.
But my pussy's tighter.
Oh, you're talking about your butthole.
Yes.
And I hope it is, because if it's not, then you have a major problem.
No, oh, I am sick.
All right, so we'll get into, we can do some heroes. Hero of the week. We can do a hero of the week if we want to.
Sure.
And we will, you fucker. All right, today's hero of the week, as it always should be, it's Goldie Hawn.
I believe the Goldie Hawn does not get called a hero anywhere near enough.
I think she should.
Yeah.
All right. You know why? Because, yeah, she might have it all figured out. And she might have the cheekbones of a preemie because she's filled with the stem cells of dead children.
Yeah, she is.
All right. But incredible.
Yeah.
That's what makes her young, vibrant. She's still got a gun iron.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, she's approaching Lady Gremlin phase.
She's looking good. I think she looked good. I think she dialed it back. Yeah. Well, she's 77 years old, and she recalled going to sleep in a friend's car after a dance rehearsal in West Covina, California, where she heard a high-pitched sound. Yep. And the reason why she gets Hero of the Week is because she continued to be a very famous person after this. Right?
It did not ruin her life.
It did not. She prompted her to look out the window, and she said, I saw these 2-3 triangular-shaped hats. They were silver in color, slash for a mouth, tiny little nose, no ears. They were pointing at me in the car as if they were discussing me. That was like, it was like I was a subject, and they were droning. And then Hawn remembers feeling paralyzed. I didn't know if it was real or not. Real. I didn't know if it was real or not real. And finally, I burst out of it. It was like bursting out of a forest field. And of course, I go back to all the kids and stuff. And I went, oh, my God. I think I made contact with outer space. I mean, something like that.
Yeah. I do love that you give her your L.A., like old L.A. woman voice. Like, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. The longer I live here, the more I come to just love that voice.
It's just the top lip doesn't fully touch, but...
Yeah. I saw these too.
I went to what I consider the most beautiful place I've ever seen. I was happy. I was calm. It felt so beautiful. It was so weird, but I felt kind of at home. I got emotional. I got so emotional.
get those tear ducts working in overtime. I know you got some left. You got some left.
All right. And then I said, I don't understand, but I have an experience once that I had to do with maybe being visited by someone.
Right, Simon.
Yep. And so she saw aliens. She wasn't afraid to say it. They touched her face.
Mm-hmm.
They touched my face. And it felt like the finger of God.
That's great.
It was the most benevolent, loving feeling, according to Goldie Hawn. It was powerful. She was filled with light.
Filled with it.
And honestly, I feel like that's incredible.
It is.
Because she came back. She saw her experience. She went to go see crop circles after that. And she loved it. She said, we got to the spot. And by God, I was standing on this hill looking down over a valley. And it was so dark. That was exactly the spot of my dream. And a crop circle of just a heart.
Wow.
And they are fake. But they are in spirit, right? And now I'm freaking out. I have collected hearts my whole life. That's what my mom collected.
Hearts.
Mom collected hearts. And then she collected birds. And then it was witches. And then it was pelicans, and then it was snowmen.
Wow.
They're all different types, waves of tchotchkes.
Yeah, that's a really bizarre mix.
And I said, I have done everything with hearts, and I look at this, and I thought, I don't know anything, but if this is a sign, I'll take it.
A sign of what?
I don't know. Work's coming. That's how I view it. I mean, no, it's pretty incredible. She was brave to tell her story.
She really was.
Because there's not a lot of people that want to hear these stories because they're afraid of being shaken out of their fucking paradigms.
Well, she's 77 at this point, and I believe that now talking about your alien experiences are far more accepted than they once were. Like, if she was talking about this, like, right after she was in Overboard, like, people would have committed her.
It might, at the time, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, at time, it would. I do think that it's true, that it has truly changed, because we can talk about it more. People used to be truly shamed.
Oh, very much so.
For being remotely involved with aliens at all. And then, I mean, I don't think it, helps anything.
No, it doesn't. But she also wasn't using like the largest platform. She was guesting on Apple Fitness Plus.
Yes.
It's her podcast or is this a show?
This is somebody else's podcast.
This is somebody else's podcast.
But that's why.
It's called Time to Walk.
I think technically we have now, we are the big news.
The podcast?
Like we're the main news source that is broadcasting this story.
Oh, God. Yes,
yeah,
we are.
So we just did it. So, hey, Goldie, I want to hear from you. SidestoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. Please, I want to hear more stories. What has Kurt seen?
Yeah. Well, are they? I thought they weren't together anymore. I think they separated.
What?
I think they separated.
No.
I think it was a few years ago now.
Top saying. Nearly 40 years later, the snatched actress and the Hateful Eight star are still going strong.
Wow. Wow. Who was I thinking
of? I love him with all of my heart. And I will never leave him because he is still, every day, he gives me little gifts. And he just gives me, it's just about the support and it's about the years of being together. And there's something about being with them for that long, you become their best friend.
Was it Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins that I'm thinking
they
of?
They did split, but they never got married.
Oh,
which is the key. We made the mistake. But you know what? I'm keeping Natalie with me.
Yeah.
That's what she doesn't know.
The lockdown. The reverse lockdown. Not the one that they used to talk about in the 50s.
No, it's
the men locking down the women.
Oh, she is free physically.
Yes.
Yeah, she can leave.
But legally.
Well, no, psychologically. I got her stuff. I know where her meds are. We're ready for some listener emails.
Let's do it.
Here we go. Man, we got so many emails about people fucking stuffed animals.
Yeah, we really did.
And I almost feel like most of them are.
And one of them.
They're not even really repeatable.
And one of them, yeah, the one that wasn't repeatable, that was absolutely just to turn my stomach, was from Haskell, Texas.
Is that the guy who ripped his penis open on the mattresses?
No, that's a different. No, this was the guy that would steal his family members' clothing and he would come into the clothing
and then he kept
putting them in a bag under his bed. And then he finally decided once his family started to notice that clothes were going missing and specifically soft and silky clothing was going missing, he tried throwing it out into a dumpster. And then his mom caught him throwing it out and she opened up and she looked in it and she saw what it was. And then, they never talked about it ever again.
That's the only way to handle that.
Interesting thing. Interesting fact. Haskell, Texas, like 10 miles from where I grew up.
Tracks.
It's like
tracks. I can
actually
see it.
It's like 10 miles from, it's where my sister-in-law went to high school.
See, it really does. I'm upset.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know if he grew up there.
No, I mean.
I don't know if he grew up there. I don't. He may have just moved there. God knows why you would, but maybe he did.
There's no way he moved there. There's literally no way.
Haskell is a little more vibrant. I mean, Rochester's like dead and dying. I mean, they've lost like 200 people. But I think Haskell is like staying at a steady 3,500. And they've been there for a long time now.
Yeah, stalwart. And I am glad that they are there and I guess not here.
Yeah, they have a pretty good Mexican food restaurant. Rodriguez Inn.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, good,
incredible.
Good burritos.
Good bump.
Yeah, good bump for Rodriguez Inn. Yeah, go check it out.
Yeah, go drive.
It's good Tex-Mex
to there for some reason.
Yeah. Go drive. Yeah, go get some good Tex-Mex.
Okay. All right, here's a story about Tiny Tim. I work pest control in downtown Minneapolis, and the place where Tiny Tim died, the Women's Club of Minneapolis, used to be one of them. I initially set them up, but was pulled out about a year. I pulled out about a year after I started there. The Women's Club is huge and old. My second visit, I spoke at length with the director, who brought me to the bathroom for an issue. She said, "You know, Tiny Tim died in here." My Tiny Tim knowledge ended at the first episode of SpongeBob, where Living in the Sunlight, Loving in the Moonlight is played. I said something along the lines of, "Oh, really?" She continued on to say that, yes, it's true, and that sometimes at night, staff and members have been known to hear the strums of a ukulele, or a very phantasmal falsetto. I'll put this out of my mind. But once she was gone, I went to Tiny Tim's Wikipedia page and indeed confirmed he had a heart attack and died at a benefit hosted here. I believe he was mid-show.
Well, this email suggests something different.
Now, I didn't think of that until early one morning around 1 a.m. I was working at the club. I was trying to get a handle on some pests in their theater down to the band pit when I heard what was distinctly a single string of a ukulele being plucked. Bing! It was almost the cartoony sound of a string being broken on the first strum. I poked my head out of the band pit, flashlight in hand, scanning towards the seats. I saw nothing. And checking and chalking up to the time of day, I went back to work. 5 minutes later, I again heard the pluck of a ukulele.
Is there a hipster from 2007 Brooklyn to
Zoe Deschanel. Along with a faint falsetto voice going, ah,
oh, that would be Tiny Tim Morza, more of a,
oh. I grabbed my bag and I ran to the theater immediately and headed to the kitchens on the other side of the building where the cooks would be preparing food for the homeless. I got a signature from the woman leading the crew because she was the only person of authority around, and I left. The next day, I came in to speak to the director and told her I think I may have met Tiny Tim the other night. She asked where, and I said the theater next to the ballroom. She told me they have a lot of people meet Tiny Tim there because the night he died, he had really wanted to play in the theater, but due to the low attendance, they felt it would be a waste of time and resources. Set it up.
And that's an interesting wrinkle to that story.
We got one more show. We got one more go.
Well, because you always hear that Tiny Tim died while performing. But according to this story, and according to the, I mean, this is the straight poop from the ladies in Minneapolis.
Yeah, this is the long poops.
Yeah, this is the long poops. This is, these women say that he never actually performed, is that he, the reason why his ghost haunts the house, haunts the performance hall,
tickets
because he never got to perform, is that he did not die during a performance. He died at a gig.
That makes me want to die. Right? Because I can see it happening to us.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to.
The other listener email that we got that I definitely want to read. This might be my favorite one.
This might be
my favorite side stories email that we've gotten so far since I started doing this show. And this is a tradition that I personally want to one day continue it. And I hope that our listeners continue this. This is from a listener whose family, their uncle created a wonderful tradition called the Christmas Vampire.
I love it.
I wanted to share my family's Christmas tradition / urban legend / cryptid with y'all. My goal is to share this with as many people as possible so it can become a common Christmas tradition. Also, I feel this is right up y'all's alley. With that being said, here's the story. It was the holiday season and my sister and I were young, about 5 or 6 years old, and still believed in Santa. We were on this long car ride with my weird uncle, weird in the eccentric and fun way, and not in a drinks too much and has bad opinions kind of way.
Nice.
I'm the eccentric uncle.
Refreshing.
It's very nice. As it was a long car ride, my uncle said to us, "Hey, you heard of the Christmas vampire?" And when we said no and asked him to explain, he elaborated with, "Christmas vampire is obviously a vampire that rides around with Santa. And he comes to your house when everyone is sound asleep. He then bites your neck and he drinks your Sprite. And then he leaves."
I love him.
Now, being kids, we didn't even question this. And it soon became a story in our family that we passed down to all the other kids. Every kid in the family believes in the Christmas vampire. So now it's become a tradition that on Christmas Eve, we leave out milk and cookies for Santa, carrots for the reindeer, and a bottle of cold Sprite for the Christmas vampire.
I love it.
And while all the kids are asleep, we take a red Sharpie and put two dots on their necks. Then someone drinks the Sprite and punctures the bottle with scissors to make it look like fang bites. On Christmas morning, the kids wake up and check their necks in the mirror to see if the Christmas vampire showed. That's incredible.
Awesome.
That's incredible.
I want to do it.
I want to do the Christmas vampire.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, you got to really prime the kids. The kids got to be into spooky stuff.
Yeah. You got, but honestly, you know, get them into it.
Yeah. This is a good gateway. It's
it
like,
helps
no, the Christmas
them.
Vampire isn't evil. He comes and he samples your blood because he likes to know what good boys and girls taste like.
That's it. He's just curious.
Yeah. You can't say taste like though, because that makes it really creepy.
No, not unless you say, he's not saying he's sucking your little penises. You know what I mean? It's blood.
Yeah, maybe it's the good little girls and boys can get vampiric powers if they're good.
Yeah, you get turned into, that's sad too.
Yeah, vampiric powers
yeah,
are
you're just,
sometimes
yeah,
a
bummer. Yeah, now you're chained to this.
Yeah.
You know? It's
temporary
just nice.
Vampire. Yeah,
he's
maybe,
drinking Sprite.
Yeah, he's drinking Sprite. No, but he also drinks the blood because they put the two little red dot marks on their neck.
They should also just leave out blood.
Yeah.
That would be fucking sweet.
Yeah, leave out a big bucket of blood and they're like right in the middle, like right next to their bed. So that's the first thing they step into in the morning.
God, yes.
Yeah.
This is important. That's why you got to live every day. All right. Dressing up as a Christmas vampire and keeping it alive 365, 24/7. Be a Christmas vampire.
Yeah.
Right. Show up, drink people's Sprite. Talk about how Santa Claus ain't cutting the fucking mustard.
Yeah.
Right. And you can love the fact that everyone's going to be like, what are you talking about?
What are you? What is that? The type we're specific. I've never heard of that before. And you're like, this is new.
Oh, I know how you do it. Is that how you explain it to the kids? You say, like, yeah, you know, like, yeah, I know. Like, Santa Claus has a lot to do.
He does.
On Christmas. He has so much to do
the
on Christmas.
Christmas vampire's got to be there.
Well, that's the thing is that sometimes Santa has to ask Halloween for help.
Oh, absolutely.
And so he calls up the Christmas. We've seen that movie. And he has to call up the Christmas vampire to come help him.
Because he goes in, works at night.
Yeah.
Just like Santa. And then you know what you'll do? You'll laugh your way to the fucking bank selling new merch.
Yep.
IP. Yep. All right, that's the whole thing. Now you got the whole thing. You got that on lockdown. You're the first person to do the Christmas vampire thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking incredible.
Yeah, it really is. So we got to give credit to whoever it was that sent in this email. Thank you for the Christmas vampire.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We
that
appreciate
was so
it.
So good. So go and check out our new comic book that's out there. It's fucking wreaking havoc.
Rampage.
Operation Sunshine is available at your local comic book store. And also go take a look at The Last Comic Book on the Left, Volume 4.
Mm.
I believe that is still up for order. And we're going to have a new coffee line.
Yes,
I'm saying it.
We're having a new coffee line. Check out Spring Hill Jack Coffee. Keep an eye on the page. We're going to be talking about a new blend.
New blends.
New blends.
There is nothing you like better than new blends.
You love new blends. I love new blends.
I love new blends. Bye, Marcus.
Bye, Henry.
Hail Satan.
Hail Guy.
Hail me. You dirty fuckers.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.